It has a lot to do with it. Pelini has done himself no favors in the public eye because of his attitude, both the way he treats his players publicly and the way he treats people in general. He's intense, and I'm all for walking on an edge, but there's a different difference between that and treating people poorly, and that's what he does. So bottom line is, you're right. If he was winning 11 games a year, they would give him a pass on it. But you can't insult one of the most passionate fan bases, one of the most intense fan bases, and trust me, they will get him, and he's going to get his, and he ain't going to be there next year. So here's his comments yesterday.
Till you sat in this seat, till you've sat and done it, you know, anybody can have an opinion. Anybody can do that. But like I said, it's easy to point fingers when and stand outside and throw stones. But I just take it for what it is.
You know, I don't like contrite Bo Pelini anyway. Let's go to the
Stickies.
Fingers, Stickies hotline. It's Stickies, not Sticky Fingers. Stickies hotline. Getting used to that. Transitioning from the Rev Room. It's all one big company, one happy family. Nick Costos, part of the Bleacher Report family, joins us this morning. Nick, how are you?
I got to tell you, I'm having a better morning than Bo Pelini probably is in Nebraska, guys.
Safe bet. Safe bet. Do you think he'll be the coach there next year?
I mean, I can't imagine so. I mean, you know, it was one thing to come out and say what he did about Tommy Frazier, obviously a beloved figure in that Cornhusker program, but then that audio tape that surfaced. I mean, look, and Frazier's got a point. You know, Nebraska's had some highs under Bo Pelini, but the defense hasn't been up to snuff, and I just can't see them keeping them here past this year, given what he said about the fans. He's insulting some of the team's legends. I just don't think there's any way that Pelini's the coach in Nebraska next season.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for him to do – I don't know what else he can do wrong. I mean, you're not winning enough. You're insulting legends. You're insulting the fan base. I don't know what
else.
Well,
I'm thinking that maybe he could pull a George Costanza and take one of the national championship trophies and you're driving around the parking lot attached to the back of his car. That would probably work, right?
That would be good. Well, Nick, we're having you on to talk about the NFL, not college, although if you want to weigh in on anything else college-wise, feel free. But I was looking through the schedule this weekend, and we can talk about performances to date so far, but there are not a lot of premier games this weekend. There's a lot of marginal matchups. I guess one of the big ones would be the rematch of Michael Vick and
I think the Thursday night game.
And Andy Reid what?
Thursday night game, right? That's what you're talking about.
That's the Chiefs and Eagles.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Chiefs and Eagles. I think that's going to be a great game. What are you talking about?
But the rest of the schedule is pretty marginal is my point. Anyway, Chiefs and Eagles, are you surprised by the Chiefs' success in the early going under Andy Reid?
No, I have to be honest with you guys. I'm really not surprised by their success. I think, you know, when you look at the Chiefs roster last year, and I know that they went 2-14, the worst record in the league, had the number one overall pick in the draft. Remember, this is a roster that sent six players to the Pro Bowl last year, tying for the league lead. It's a very talented roster. Andy Reid's a terrific coach. They have a competent quarterback now, and Alex Smith. They were able to win a game that I expected them to win against Dallas at Arrowhead in the home opener this past Sunday. I think the Chiefs are the second-best team in that division behind the Denver Broncos. I expect the Chiefs to contend, if not make the playoffs this year as a wild card team. I am not surprised by the Chiefs' success thus far this season.
Okay, so let's talk about the Broncos. Broncos obviously come out of the gate, 7 touchdowns for Peyton Manning. They come back with a win in the Manning Bowl last weekend. I'm not sure, though, that we've seen a real great test for them yet. When does a great test come for Denver?
You know, I feel like Denver's tests are going to come a little bit down the road here. It obviously will not be in Week 3 when they host the Oakland Raiders here on a Monday Night Football, a game that they are going to absolutely dominate. But they will get a test in Week 4 when they host the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, let's see how that defense holds up against Chip Kelly's offense. And then they play the Cowboys in Week 5 in Dallas. And I just think that this team will cruise through the regular season. They should win the AFC West, get at least one home playoff game, if not two, if they make it to the championship game. But I do have some question marks about this team in the pass defense with the pass rush or lack thereof of the pass rush. And I'm also not sold on the running back production. I know Sean Moreno had a nice game on Sunday in the Manning Bowl against the Giants, but you haven't seen it from Hillman. You haven't seen it from Ball. And this has been the first time that Moreno has actually kind of picked up the slack. So I'm still not totally sold on the Broncos as the clear-cut favorite in the AFC. Will they win the division? Yes. Will they make the playoffs? Absolutely. Are they the clear-cut favorite to go to the Super Bowl? I'm not so sure.
How much of a difference does Miller make when he comes back?
I think Von Miller makes all the difference in the world for that team. I mean, we're talking about one of the premier pass rushers in the league, and how you win in today's NFL is by throwing the ball with your quarterback and by rushing the quarterback on defense. And, you know, throw Von Miller, Alden Smith, J.J. Watt as some of the premier pass rushers in the league. Von's up there with all of them. I think he's going to make all the difference in the world. He's going to free things up on the other side for Sean Phillips, some of the other pass rushers on the Broncos team. It's going to make a tremendous impact when Von Miller returns from his six-game suspension.
Nick Costos joining us, BleacherReport.com. Kevin in Little Rock wants to talk about the Heisman race, and Kevin, if you'll hang, we'll get to you in just a minute. Let me talk to you about a guy that should have won the Heisman at least once, Darren McFadden, who's now in Oakland. It's a contract year for him, which is amazing because he's in his sixth year in the league, which is hard to believe.
Yeah.
He has a running quarterback who Arkansans are, we hope that he helps Darren McFadden have a good year, but we also are bitter because he beat Arkansas in a Sugar Bowl a couple of years ago. But does Terrell Pryor's running ability help or hurt Darren McFadden and his numbers for this season, you think?
You know, I don't think it will ultimately matter. And, you know, in week one, Pryor obviously rushed for 112 yards, and McFadden didn't have as good a game. But this past Sunday against the Jaguars, McFadden had his best game so far this season, and given like the last half of last year, maybe his best game in about a year. 29 carries, 129 yards. A very good game for McFadden as Oakland tries to get back to that power run scheme that they favored in the early years of McFadden's career. You know, Oakland has surprised in the early part of this year. They've been very competitive, almost upset the Colts, beat the Jaguars last week. The offensive line has been better than anticipated. The defense and the pass rush has been better than anticipated. I think we could be looking at a bit of a renaissance here for Darren McFadden, and you mentioned the most important thing. It's a contract year for Darren McFadden. He knows that he's got to produce this year if he wants that big money deal. I think you're going to see a very good season from McFadden in that Oakland run game.
Nick, of the teams that are undefeated this year, which team surprises you the most? Because, again, there was a game that I was curious about the line with Miami and Atlanta this week. It's only like a field goal difference. Miami's one of the teams that stands out to me as maybe a little bit of a surprise at 2-0.
You know, I would think that it would be Miami or Kansas City would be the main surprises. I expected Chicago to be good and win their first two games of the year. But as it concerns Miami, yeah. I mean, I picked Miami to win both games, but still, surprising to see this team go out there and win two road games to start the season. Now, consider that fact. Not just 2-0, but 2-0 with two wins on the road for the Miami Dolphins. And they could easily move to 3-0 with a win on Sunday over the Falcons. And I think the reason why that line is so small, and it surprised me too, Atlanta has suffered a rash of injuries to key players. Had to place defensive end Croy Bierman on season-ending injured reserve. Had to play Sean Weatherspoon, arguably their best defensive player, linebacker out of Missouri. He's on IR with a designation to return. He won't be back until week 11. The Falcons will be without running back Steven Jackson this week. He's nursing a thigh injury. So they're a banged-up team going into Miami to play a Dolphins team that's firing on all cylinders. Don't be surprised if the Dolphins pull this one out and move to 3-0.
At the other end of the spectrum, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and if there's anybody performing worse as a coach in football than Bo Pelini, I would give Todd Haley the nod. Their offense has been dismal. They obviously have had injury issues as well. Can they get things turned around, or is this just going to be what Pittsburgh looks like this year?
You know, I think this is what the Pittsburgh Steelers are this year, and to be honest, I'm not surprised by how they're performing. I picked them to miss the postseason. I think the Steelers at this point are closer to the Cleveland Browns than they are to the Cincinnati Bengals, which is sort of unbelievable to say out loud.
That's a terrible slap.
But it's the truth. I mean, they're suffering from a lack of talent at the skill positions. Antonio Brown, really the only viable wide receiver. The offensive line, especially with the loss of Marquise Pouncey, their all-pro center. The offensive line is not great. Roethlisberger is still an A-level quarterback, but he's pretty much got to pitch a perfect game every time out there for the Steelers to have a chance. I don't love that defense anymore. I still love Tomlin. I still love Roethlisberger, but the talent is just not there on this roster right now. I think the Steelers are going to finish in third or possibly in last place in the AFC North.
Nick Costos joining us, BleacherReport.com.
Hey, Nick, I just got a quick question for you. Being in Arkansas, as we don't have a pro team, a lot of fans around here love the Dallas Cowboys. What are you thinking about them this year? You did say that you thought Kansas City was going to beat the Cowboys. How do you think they sort out this year?
Well, I think that we're going to learn a lot about the Cowboys with their game on Sunday against the St. Louis Rams. And I actually want to disagree with something you said a little earlier. You said that the slate's not really that sexy this weekend with games on the NFL calendar. Mm-hmm. Well, that may be true in terms of elite teams not going up against each other.
Right.
We're going to learn a lot about potential playoff contenders this week. And one of the games that fascinates me, the 1-1 Rams and the 1-1 Cowboys. Two teams that are going to try and get some separation here early on in the season. The winner of this game is going to move to 2-1, and I think the winner of this game could end up being a factor in the wild card chase in the NFC. Now, the thing that's working in the Cowboys' advantage, the NFC East is probably the worst division in football this year.
Agreed.
Which is different from past years, obviously, when it's been known as the NFC Beast because all the teams are usually very good. This year, I mean, you could basically blindfold throw a dart and pick a winner in this division. You could make a case for any of the four teams winning the division. So I think that Cowboys fans need to be optimistic right now. 1-1, a division win in week one against the Giants. Romo looks good. Dez Bryant's a beast. The defense has performed well thus far. The new Tampa 2 scheme under Monty Kiffin. I think that optimism should be high in Dallas, and if they can get a win on Sunday against the Rams, I think that they're making a statement that they're going to be able to contend for a playoff berth, if not the NFC East crown this season.
Can I ask you an NFL college crossover question?
I would love if you would. I'd be offended if you didn't.
It would have been awesome if you said no. Don't do that. Johnny Manziel, do you see him as projecting now? I mean, he certainly has worked on his passing. He's played well this last week, and although he made some mistakes as well, but do you see him as a potential NFL quarterback, and has your opinion from last year to this year changed at all?
You know, my opinion from last year to this year hasn't really changed in terms of his passing ability, and I think you saw it certainly the game against Alabama last year and in the bowl victory last year. Manziel's a terrific passer. He's got unbelievable athletic ability, clearly, and you've seen a rash of articles come out here in the last couple weeks getting quotes from unnamed scouts and unnamed general managers. There are going to be naysayers like Scott Pioli, who appears on NBC, who say, you know, I would not draft Johnny Manziel based on his character concerns. But all it takes is one general manager, one owner who thinks highly enough of a player, and he's going to go in the first round. Right now, as of this date, September 18th, 2013, I think Johnny Manziel is going to be a first-round pick in the NFL draft.
A top 10 pick or a first-round pick?
You know, that's tough to say. If you're going to put me on the spot here just based on the need for quarterbacks, I think Manziel's going to be a top 10 pick in the draft, and I think it's a terrific class of quarterbacks, Taj Boyd of Clemson. I think the world of Marcus Mariota. I know you have a caller on hold that wants to talk Heisman. I think Mariota's going to run away with the Heisman this year out in Oregon. I really like the college quarterbacks this year. Teddy Bridgewater, obviously, at Louisville. I think Manziel, maybe not a top 10 pick, but I think he's going to go in the top half of that first round.
Okay, let's play fantasy football. As long as we're going to go that route, who could Johnny Manziel help get at least one more win this year in the NFL?
You know, I think Johnny Manziel would be a perfect fit for the Philadelphia Eagles and Chip Kelly's offense. And, you know, Chip Kelly recruited Manziel to play at Oregon. Manziel didn't want to go too far away from home, ended up staying in College Station. I think that Manziel would be a perfect fit in that Chip Kelly offense. And I think as you start to see offenses adapt some of what Kelly's doing, and you've seen it in past years, the Redskins running the read option, the Seahawks doing it with Russell Wilson, I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility that you'll see a team, maybe even coached by Kevin Sumlin, who I expect to get an NFL job this year, draft Johnny Manziel, make him the centerpiece of that offense, run the read option, and really take advantage of his athletic
Where's
ability.
Sumlin going?
It's tough to say. I mean, we have to see how things shake out here, but I would be stunned if Kevin Sumlin was not an NFL coach next season.
Wow. As a coordinator or as a head coach?
I think he's going to get a head coaching job. And,
wow.
And I don't know how much this got out there, but, you know, the Eagles were looking at hiring Sumlin before they hired Chip Kelly. I think that the NFL is enamored with Kevin Sumlin, what he's done with that A&M program, an offensive visionary. I expect him to get a lot of NFL looks this coming offseason.
Well, he needs to bring his big receiver with him, too. That's another guy that's become a pretty sexy pick who may
I'll tell you what, man. Mike Evans looked a lot like Vincent Jackson last week against Alabama. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was amazing. Well, Nick, we really enjoyed it. We need to get you back on again. That was great stuff.
Yeah,
I appreciate
great.
The time. Thanks for squeezing us in. I know you got a busy schedule today.
Anytime. I appreciate it.
All right,
thank you very much.
That's Nick Costos. Very good.
He's good.
Matt, I looked at Matt. I'm like, what's he doing on now? Because normally we don't do those until after the first segment. And he had a tight schedule today, so we had to get him on at 20 after. So Matt's doing his thing, and I'll be quiet now.
You handled it well.
So I was wrong twice. First of all, I didn't think he was supposed to be on yet, and he agreed with Christina that the slate this weekend is very intriguing, and he's right. I'm looking at elite teams like last weekend when you have the Niners against the Seahawks.
Well, in the Manning game.
You had Green Bay and San Francisco in the first week, those kinds of games, the Manning Bowl, right. But this week, again, this is where you see the wheat and the chaff separated right now, or the cream rising to the top, or whatever you want to say. Use whatever cliche, insert here. But it is important now for those 1-1 teams. You need a win bad this week.
Big time.
So the Cowboys.
Yeah, Dez Bryant dropped that ball in like the fourth quarter. And if he wouldn't have dropped that, they would have probably easily won that game. But 2-0 for Kansas City, I like it.
I do too.
I like Andy Reid. I look forward to Thursday's game.
You know who I like? Joe Klein. And Joe Klein has not been happy about Chiefs football in some time. I'm glad to see a smile on his face.
Oh, is that his team?
Well, the Slater-Mograd.
Oh, that's right. right.
That's right. When you go to Slater Mo High, you root for the Chiefs. So I'm sure he's
thrilled then. Yeah, Andy Reid. I mean, people love Andy Reid. They're talking about this morning, you know, reporters are ridiculous sometimes, but they asked me, he did not want to talk anything about,
Sometimes.
He didn't want to talk anything about Philadelphia. He didn't want to talk about it. He was like, I'm going to play a football game. I don't care where it is. And some guy asked him, so Andy, where's your favorite Philly cheesesteak? And he just looked at him like, you idiot. Don't ask me those stupid questions. Like, he's really focused on the game.
I know, Christina, but those are fun questions. It is dumb, yes. But Andy, look, if you're going to ask a dude where a good Philly cheesesteak is, look at that dude. He's
he
going to
know.
I mean,
guess
right?
He would know.
Thank you. Kevin, thank you for your patience. What's up?